Welcome back to IndieCan Radio, and thanks so much for spending some time with us. It's New Music West Week in Vancouver, and we're going to devote a lot of our show to the West Coast. We have Neil Osborne of 5440 on deck to talk with us, but first, live at IndieCan, here's Karen Kozowski. We are listening to the tunage of Karen Kozowski, and you are joining us on Queen Street West, May. We're pretending it's sunny out, and you can hear the birds in the background a little bit in the streetcars, but it's kind of a crappy day, really, isn't it?
Yeah, not so much tanning.
Now, I was reading your website, and you were all messed up because you felt like you're going on tour and you haven't done enough to promote it. Yeah, there's so much to the business aspect of being an artist, isn't there?
Yeah.
And there's never enough time to do it all, is there?
No, there's really not. I mean, you either split yourself so much that you do everything in a mediocre way, or focus on a few of the most important things and let the other ones kind of slide. That's what I'm learning. So for me, it's like, okay, I think I should write a song now and let the rest go for now. I don't have to send that email right now,
Well, the creative can fall by the wayside,
Exactly.
If you're not careful.
Yeah.
Well, in fact, you mentioned that you had a bunch of half-finished songs and that you thought you were going to go and finish them. Is that normal for you? Do you, have a lot of half-finished songs at any given time?
Yeah, I think that's what ends up happening. I mean, I go through periods where I'm writing a lot, and then I go through periods where I'm not. And I just came out of one where I was working on the record, and that was taking up so much of my creative energy that I wasn't writing. So since I released the record, my first thought was, oh, I gotta get writing again. But it feels like something that, like you're not used to. It's like, oh my God, how do I do this again, But, I got into it, and sure enough, I start getting these little ideas that I start collecting on a little recorder, and yeah, I guess they don't always finish themselves right away, and so you gotta wait till they kind of come to their time, and sometimes you need, a hard deadline. So.
Yeah, that'll help.
That helps.
Yeah, I find, for the most part, it's sort of left brain and right brain type activities. Mm-hmm. And, the creative side, right, just getting the ideas out is one thing. But it requires that left brain sort of, let's get focused here. What's true to the song and what's just ranting.
You gotta let that stuff come out, and then you get to the good stuff, and then later on you go back with a samurai sword and cut out the stuff that isn't working, and you gotta be honest with yourself then. But
that's right, and you need it to cool down a little bit, because when you first write it you think, wow, that is Stairway to Heaven.
Yeah.
This is called More Than a Sign. They say we shouldn't be waiting, 'cause it takes more than a day, more than a sign. But lately, everything's changing, and it's hard to leave it behind, put it out of your mind. But imagine just what would happen if we all decided to talk, decided to speak. Cause I know you're not soft, I know you're not weak, but then it happens again. Coldest of hearts, the strongest of men, and over it goes, over again. I wonder how long we have to pretend, 'cause whatever you want, I'll do it, but we make a of defeat, ignoring the keys, ignoring the clues. But I know you wanna break free, I see it in you, but then it happens again, the coldest of hearts, 'cause whatever you want, I'll do it, you know. I'll do it, you know. I'll do it, you know. 'Cause whatever you want, I'll do it, you know. I'll do it, you know. I'll do it, you know.
Thank you so much.
Now, you also said that you're writing a little differently, that the first record was more like a diary. And this time around, I see there's more writing in second person, third person type of thing. So how has that changed and why?
I was really conscious of that, actually, because I'd spent a few records, you know, just kind of doing that sort of really personal stuff. And I really wanted to write stuff that other people could relate to, because I think that those are the songs that I've been listening to myself in the last 4 or 5 years that have really kind of stuck with me. You know, I found I was listening to less personal diary type stuff and gravitating towards songs that just resonated, you know, and sometimes they just had more of a universal message, or, you know, some sort of chorus that just is like, oh yeah, you know, it wasn't like I wore the wrong underwear. It's like, you know, something a little bit more higher intentioned, you know. Yeah, so so I did deliberately kind of set out that way, and then it got pretty easy because that's what I was listening to a lot of as well, you know.
Influences, Coldplay, Radiohead, no doubt.
Yeah.
I mean, you're kind of, I've described you as sort of a female-fronted Coldplay.
Yeah,
is that
cool.
Fair?
Oh, man, I'm so flattered. Thank you.
But just the way you approach the keyboards and melody and that sort of thing, there's some influence there.
Oh,
sure.
Yeah, I love Coldplay. I mean, they're definitely one of my larger influences. Really, actually, a lot of UK bands, and they're all male-fronted, too, which is something that I keep coming up against. It's like, wow, like all the artists I like right now are all these guys' voices, and so when I'm recording myself, I almost want to sound like a guy, you know, like I find myself going, damn it, if only my voice was a little bit lower or a little bit but yeah, Coldplay sorry, I digress.
Yep.
Coldplay, I love Keane. I love what they're doing because it's really keyboard based. That actually kind of inspired me to think, okay, I don't have to use guitars that much, you know, if I don't want to. And my songwriting demos for this record had been all done on keyboard completely.
Yeah.
It was just me and my laptop and GarageBand, and I, you know, would sketch out the guitar parts and or what I thought were going to be guitar parts with a keyboard and some sampled sounds in my laptop. And then I started really liking the sounds that I was getting and liking the fact that I could play them on the keyboard and use the, you know, the pitch wheel and things like that and kind of create some funky sounds. And I ended up kind of keeping stuff like that on the record and not going in and replacing it all with with a bunch of real guitars, because I think it has a real kind of vibe to it.
Well, it's authentic. It was genuine. It was the, you captured a moment with it, right?
So I tried. I had so much fun doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And females, what? Tracy Chapman?
Well,
you listen to, like, who motivates you on the female vocalist side?
Well, years ago, I definitely, there were some key female artists who inspired
Portishead?
Me to, oh yeah, I loved Portishead. I actually killed a pair of car speakers with Portishead back in Winnipeg years ago. I could smell them burning as I drove.
Nice work.
Yeah. But I would say way back when, like 10 years ago, I could name, like, you know, Sarah McLachlan, Tori Amos, Ani DiFranco, some of those, you know, sort of classic female voices that inspired me to start playing, like, writing songs at all. And I've really gravitated from there.
That was a renaissance for female artists. They were winning all the Junos, all the Grammys. That was like Alanis Morissette day and, you know, all that sort of stuff that was going on. So, yeah it's, you know, there was lots to be inspired by then, I think.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. And there's a little bit of music in your family. You're married into music, aren't you?
Yes. Yeah, newly married into music. Actually, my husband and I met through playing together.
Yeah.
We both moved to Toronto about the same time, and he was a bass player moving from Texas, not originally from Texas, but moving from Texas, and I was moving from Winnipeg, and we started playing together in town and running into each other in clubs and shows, and then we started making a record.
And your brother plays?
My brother plays drums. Mm-hmm. He's actually my my drummer in my band, and really loving that because he reads my mind completely. It's like, you know, I mean, my husband and I have been together quite a few years now, but it's, my brother has this sort of blood vibe where it's like, we know, you know, he and I, we make the same mistakes.
Yeah.
You know, we, and my sister is an opera singer, actually. So I'm hoping one day to somehow incorporate that, but I'm not sure how yet.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now let's finish with a song from your record. What do you want to play?
Let's play Stars in Our Eyes.
Okay. Tell the audience a little bit about that song. It's kind of upbeat.
Yeah. It's upbeat. I like it because it's a little mysterious. It can be dark, but it can also be light. It's kind of got that sort of hopeful sounding chorus, but yet at the same time there's definitely an undertone of uncertainty there, so you can take it either way.
your eyes and listen to the silence whispering. And oh, baby, our time has arrived. But oh, that's life. And oh, now we have stars in our eyes. We don't know how we get by, but we do. And oh,
Neil Osborne from 5440, and you're listening to Indie Can Radio.
Don't know what to do. She's taking
saddles, waiting every inch of me that girl is loving it.
Therapy for years now, but it's foreign to me. Maybe I'm immune to hell. We'll see. There's no way to explain it away. Can't we just delete these decades? Take them out.
From IndyCan West, it's The Smears.
Yeah.
That enthusiastic smattering of applause is for the Smears. That was back in, what, October of 2006. We'll be digging into that archive. That day we had a long, long chat with Neil Osborne of 5440, and some of that was part of that first episode, episode 20. And here we are at episode 84, and just to celebrate the West Coast, I went back into that and dug out some of that. There's some new 5440 stuff going on. We got a link to our website now to a new song and video called Northern Soul. It's a peace-promoting song. And I'd encourage everyone to have a look at it. And if you like it, tell your friends. It's a great effort. And I'm certainly looking forward to album number 11 from indie band 5440. Anyway, that was the Smears. Before that, a band called Bellevue, who you've heard on IndieCan Radio before on their first record. But this is set for release for June, the album The Road to Recovery. And we heard I've Been Meaning to Get Therapy. And I love the musical sensibilities and the sense of humor of this band. And we opened up our set with Daniel Wesley from Sing and Dance. That was Pony. Thanks again to Karen Kozowski and Sam, who engineered that session. She referred to her husband, Mark Rogers, with Philosopher Kings. I mean, that band is just spun out. I mean, Sunshine State, if you know them, Jay Levine, Prozac, all kinds of stuff has come out of there. That's really an amazing story. So again, I wish I could have been out there for New Music West, and maybe next year I will. I know a lot of friends were out there, and we're going to devote the rest of the show to West Coast stuff. We'll hear a little bit from the most recent True North record of 5440, which is Yes to Everything. We'll hear from Neil Osborne himself. We will also hear from our friends The Flares. They were the very first Vancouver band we ever recorded. They were on the road. That was episode 10 back in Toronto. But that was a great session, and we'll hear from them. But first, we started a piano theme with Karen, and we'll continue with that. This is Vancouver's Alliance.
Serious, but you never.
Wasowski, and you're listening to IndieCan Radio.
Has anyone approached you and said, hey, 5440 was a huge influence on me, your writing style was a huge influence on me, and has that surprised you?
Yeah, that's happened a few times. And it has kind of, you know, really? And you sort of lose that perspective that people take some of the stuff that you create and it influences them.
Right.
You know, I've purposefully created a position where I don't try, I try not to put my ego around what is created. I go, well, that's created and that is what it is. And if it helps somebody, whether it's the song they have at their wedding or whether it inspires them to pick up a guitar.
Right.
You know, great. And I hope that it does that. But it's not me that did that for them. It's the song that did that for them. There's that distance.
Yeah.
And so, and I understand that. And it's the same. It's the same with me. I mean, I'm a huge fan of you know, Neil Young, for instance. And for the longest time, I didn't even want to see him because I was afraid that it would distort my relationship with the music. It's like reading the book and then seeing the movie. You know,
right.
Being afraid to see the movie because I have my own vision of what this is about. Then I saw him a few times, but now I wouldn't want to meet him, you know, because then that might really distort my perception of what, you know, I have a relationship with the music. I don't care who he is.
Yeah, that's right.
I really don't. I just love what he does. So there's a difference.
Now, are you surprised where you're at? I mean, I get the impression that it's just, you know, if you live another day to write another song or put out another album, that's great. But do you ever sort of do a retrospective that, you know, we missed an opportunity here, or, you know, we really
capitalize on an opportunity there. Looking back career path-wise, is there anything you wish had gone differently or that you're really stunned by?
I don't know. I mean, you can do that. There's certainly a lot of roads that you look back and you go, well, I wonder if we'd gone this way instead of that way. But then you just wouldn't know how the rest of that would follow, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah,
would I have met my wife and then not had the children that I've had and
yeah.
all that sort of stuff? And, you know, would I trade that for, you know, having decided to stay in L.A., for instance, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, gotten whatever, more notoriety. I don't know. Not too much that I can, you know. Yeah, I mean, I think Paul Anka said it best, you know, regrets. I've had a few. But then again, too few to mention, right?
Sid Vicious said it best,
though. Yeah. Frank kind of delivered the ultimate.
I suppose. For some. So, put your sage hat on for artists starting out, you know. You know, if they tugged on your shoulder and said, you know, I'm getting started, and what should I do? What guidance would you give me? What would you say to them?
Well, you know, there's a thing that the philosophy in our band that when people ask us, you know, I'm thinking about getting in the music business or I'm thinking about this, you know, do you have any advice? And we always say, don't. Because if you have to think about whether you're going to do this or not, you are so behind.
Well, let's
deal with... It's an obsession.
Yeah, let's deal with the person who already has the compulsion and they can't stop it. And they're just looking for, you know, where should I direct these energies and what's a waste of time and, you know, what do I do now?
Well, I think if... I would assume it, therefore, that your drive is centered around the music.
Yeah.
And creating music. And so, you know, not that I want to duck the question, but there isn't really much specific to say other than the determination will get you there. I mean, I've seen a lot of people with great talent and with a road that's paved for them, and they just can't seem to walk on it because they don't seem to be able to stick with it.
Right.
You know, through the trials and tribulations and the distortions, and they lose sight of why they're doing it. These things will sort themselves out if you're sort of remember why you like music or why you want to do this in the first place. For us, it was never about a career. It was just about making the next record, creating the next thing and getting it out there and then doing it again. And it's still our philosophy. It's having the resources and the ability and the will to keep creating, you know. So
now, you talked about performing and the buzz it gives. Certainly Vancouver's got to be a great place to play. I mean, where else is there that you just love to play, that you really get a good vibe with the audience?
Well, Buffalo's really good for us, actually.
No kidding.
Yeah, it's probably, it sometimes even outdoes Vancouver, believe it or not, which is an anomaly for us, but I don't know. It can be anywhere, actually. As far as a city goes, I wouldn't say anything other than Buffalo or Vancouver on a consistent level. But, you know, we could be in Regina one day and, you know, it's kind of a eh. And then another day, it's like one of the most magical moments. And I don't know why. I just don't know why.
Yeah.
It just seems to work. You know?
Same set list.
Yeah.
You know, largely, you know, some of the same crowd, but still a different experience.
And as a fan, you know, I remember when we, years ago, when we pulled up into Regina, we were going to play the university the next night, and playing there that night was a band called Slow.
Mm-hmm.
And there's probably 25 people in the crowd.
Yeah.
And it was probably one of the best shows I'd seen in my life. It still ranks up there.
No kidding.
I mean, they were just so, I don't know, they're just kind of defiant, and all they had was themselves and the music, you know.
Yeah.
Nobody cared. People were heckling them, and, you know.
No kidding.
We were sort of at the back watching this whole thing go down, and it was just magical. I mean, they were in touch with the gods, you know, and that's all. So you can't lose sight of that kind of stuff, too. It doesn't have to be a full house to be a great moment, right?
No, but I mean, people think that way, right?
You know,
if there isn't a connection, if there isn't a relationship between the audience and the band, the music's going to suffer.
But well, there is anyways. That's the thing. These people have this sort of, you know, I'm more of a Zen attitude towards things. The is, you know. They're either what is or there's, I mean, not. There's form and emptiness. And in any situation, when an artist is putting out there, even if it's a coffee house and no one is listening, it's still happening. They're still contributing to that moment. It's still something going on.
Yeah.
And there's somebody who's looking, or somebody whose ears, even if subconsciously, are getting a connection out of that. It works. The trick is, as the artist, not to run away from it. Stay there.
Let's talk about music videos.
Mm-hmm.
Do you do the creative on the music videos or leave that to somebody else? And how important do you think they are?
Because I've had a long career, you know. I don't necessarily think they're too important now, although they've benefited our band, you know, quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we, late 80s, early 90s, we were, you know, the video kings on Much Music. I think we got, Sheila won the best video 1 year, and we got routinely, you know, heavy rotations there for a few albums. And that really helped our careers.
Right.
So I can't ignore the fact that that worked.
Right.
At the same time, you know, Much Music back in those days, I hate to say it, was a much cooler station in the sense that they would play what they liked, it seemed like. You know? And the Hip was another one, or whatever it was, you know, and it wasn't, you didn't have all the big sort of machinery from Los Angeles and New York invade. You know, you didn't have Beyonce making her presence known and, you know, shutting down the streets or whatever, whoever the, you know. It was all Canadian. It was folks, you know.
Mo Berg talks about walking down there with a cassette of, you know, I'm an adult now, right?
Yeah.
And thought maybe he'd get, you know, a feature, but it just went into regular rotation.
Yeah.
And he didn't have a record to support it, right?
Yeah.
There was a demand for the music. And, yeah, they did just, hey, this is cool, let's do it. And there was something fresh about it. Now it seems very corporate, doesn't it?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think... Once again, if you spin outside that sort of, you know, let's face it, Much Music has become corporate. If you spin outside of that, when you can go on the YouTubes or just have your own thing on a website, it's a creative medium, right? And I think it's nothing wrong with going lateral. If you're a musician, you don't have to stay true to it. You know, you can do your cover, you can make your own video, and it's probably a good idea to get more involved. In our case, I have worked with directors and stuff like that, and I let them, because they know what they're doing. I really don't know anything about, you know, I can't sort of put it into a visual concept. I can, you put me on in a set or environment, and I can do what I do.
Yeah.
But, you know, I just make sure, I just do the checks and balances with their idea. Goes, that works with the song.
Yeah, that's right. You either go, it's too cheese ball, or that's really cheesy, let's do it, I like it.
Yeah, but you know, it's like, I mean, I've been gone through a lot of these just because I've been around, I guess, around the block too many times. You know, don't use that word integrity anymore, you know, because if you're using the word, then you don't got it, you know.
Yeah, it's like someone says, let me be honest with you.
Yeah.
Then you're going to doubt everything they've said.
Exactly. Yeah. But at the same time, when you're starting out, you're trying to define yourself, and you're very protective of losing yourself. That, you know, the danger of that. So you do have to use those words, you know, that, you know, integrity or maturity and all those other things. And I think at the end of the day, you got to incorporate your shadow. And so whatever bugs you, you know, so if you would never do a silly video where you dress in a pink suit, that should be exactly what you do once, you know.
Yeah.
Dress in the pink suit and do the stupid video. Get it out of your system and go there. Now you can't get hurt by it, you know. Now people can't find that weakness, or it's not going to dig at you. You're free. You know? So in that sense, you know, just got to let it all happen.
This thing is empty. For more information on the artists featured on today's show, visit indiecan.com.